What is going on? Welcome to episode 11, Top of the Dude Chain podcast. Got a quick question, man. What's the deal with kids not wanting to take baths or showers? I didn't necessarily mind it when I was younger. I know I enjoy it more thoroughly now. But I don't get what the deal is. I mean, why don't you want to be clean? I thoroughly enjoy my daily showers. And you heard that correctly, showers. It's not uncommon for me to take 2, 3, 4 showers a day. I like being clean. Sometimes some of them I rinse off, some of them I give myself a good thorough cleansing, but I enjoy being clean. And that's it. So I don't get it. My kids, man, they huff and puff every time we tell them to take a shower. And they argue with whether they're dirty or not. And they're dirty. And I think they realize they're dirty. I just think they argue whether they are dirty enough to constitute spending 5 minutes washing with some warm water and soap. But yeah, I've talked before on this podcast about how traveling isn't an enjoyable experience all the time. But do you think there's just anything more offensive than getting onto an airplane without any type of consideration about your hygiene? I understand every now and then you may wake up too late and have to catch a plane, but I don't think you ever wake up too late to where slapping on a little bit of deodorant as just a courtesy to those of us sitting in this plane with you, possibly in the seat next to you. I don't think, you know, there's an issue. Maybe putting a little perfume or cologne on to maybe mask a deep, stagnant, just eye-watering case of body odor. We're all stuck on that plane for an hour and a half to 3 hours, depending where you're going, and sorry, man, I don't want to smell you the entire way. Or sorry, ma'am, I don't want to smell you the entire way. So I enjoy it. I enjoy it. My days off, I take quite a bit of time to do the whole hygiene routine. I enjoy shaving. I shave old school. I shave wet shave. I use a safety razor. I have the brush and the old school shaving cream, and my buddy Ian, he's the one who introduced myself, and I believe he introduced Jeff to it too, and we have long discussions about it, and a nice good aftershave. And like I said, I enjoy the shaving process, just because it's a relaxing thing when you do it outside of just a cheap razor and some aerosol can shaving cream. When you prep the skin for it and take your time and manicure your face the way our grandparents and great grandparents did, it's almost therapeutic. Almost therapeutic. And I mentioned on a couple podcasts ago, I mentioned that I was a little upset that Bruce Wayne in the new Justice League movie kind of shaved like a frat boy, man. Trying to shave like a college kid, just a cheap razor and whatnot. I'm like, you would think Bruce Wayne would either have a nice, classy routine, sophisticated routine of shaving, or like I mentioned, would have Alfred, shaving, giving them a nice straight edge. I thoroughly enjoy a good straight edge shaving by a barber, but they are getting more and more difficult to find these days. And understandably so, it's a process, but man, you're looking at paying $100 for a haircut and a shave when, I went to a guy and I found a guy in San Antonio that I went to, and it was $40, but he shaved and gave you a haircut and shampoo and all of it. I mean, it was you were coming out looking clean, man, looking fly. And now, man, it's you, that kind of treatment. I mean, it's hard to get out of there for less than 100, 120 now. Anyway, that's us. Watched the new Star Wars last week, and it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. So Buddy and I were just kind of talking about it during some downtime at work, and we're talking about it at work a little bit, and we were talking about how Vader died, Darth Vader died, and basically he picked up the Emperor and threw him down into the reactor, down to the reactor core or whatever. And I was a little disappointed that Vader, when talking about the amount of electricity went through Luke's body and the amount of electricity that went through Vader's body, I would have thought Vader would have been able to withhold a little bit more a more juice going through him, So I made that point to this guy, and a lot of it was just to razz him because I like razzing him. But he told me, he said, "Watch Rogue One." Particularly the end scene. So I watched Rogue One today. And Vader was bad in that movie, man. Vader was bad in that movie. He was bad in that movie. The best part of that scene at the end when outside of the fact that they can't get the door open and everything goes, he boards, he docks and they hear it and it's all black and all of a sudden, vroom, here comes the red lightsaber and then they just start blasting him and he's just, he's doing the force thing, deflecting all the light bullets or whatever they shoot out of those guns. But the best part is when he picks the guy up with the force and pins him to the ceiling. And as he's walking underneath him, just reaches back and slices the guy in half and then moves on and just sort of slices and dices everyone. And then right before he gets the door open, he basically punctures the one dude and then opens the door, and you see the lightsaber sitting through. It's pretty cool, man. Pretty good scene, but still a little disappointed on why it took so much less electricity to knock off Vader than it did Luke. Anyway, enough about Star Wars. I want to try and save all my Star Wars talk when Mr. Jeff Tucker's here. But I enjoy them. I wouldn't call myself a fanatic. I'm not dressing up like a Wookiee to go watch it on and to camp out for 9 hours to watch it on opening night, but I'll watch the movie and enjoy it, tell you it's good or not, whether I liked it or not. That Logan Paul dude, I don't know if y'all know about him. I didn't know about him. He went to Japan. Apparently the big issue with him in Japan was that he went into this forest that's notorious for people committing suicide in it. And he was taping himself in it, making the commentary, whatever. And knowingly, as he was recording, somebody had committed suicide, and he put it out. I mean, he basically recorded it, said some things, and then stuck it out there. And it wasn't sensitive, and he got blasted for being sensitive or insensitive about it. And then you kind of watch the rest of the video, and I mean, he's just kind of a stupid hillbilly as he interacts with the Japanese locals. He does mock their culture a little bit, and like I said, just looks like a fool. And I watched some of his other stuff, not a lot, because got much better things to do. But I watched some of his other stuff, and I don't know why people find these guys funny, man. I mean, I guess I could. I don't even think if I was 12 or 13, I would find these guys funny. I remember the things that I found funny were Jim Carrey movies, Adam Sandler movies, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Those were funny. Remember shows like I thought Urkel was pretty funny. I thought some of the stuff there in Full House was pretty funny. I thought that Cody dude from that show Step by Step, the dude who lived in his van in the driveway, that dude was funny. Thought some of the stuff on Saved by the Bell was funny. But to be honest with you, I could watch that stuff today and still think it's funny. And a lot of the movies that I thought was funny. That I thought was funny back in the in when I was younger, when I was 12 and 13, I still think's funny today. I don't think that dude's funny. I don't think he's entertaining. I'm sure that when I was younger, there's a list of things that my generation did that made the generation before me worry about what I was going to do, and these are the future leaders of our country. But I hate to say it, because I'm not going to be that guy who's like, these are going to be the people who lead our country, where's society going? And I definitely think all the generations have their own problems, and these problems. These problems are passed on or reflected upon in by the children, but thoroughly hope that this younger generation moves on from jokers like this guy, because that dude is 100% waste of time. I mean, I just we're back anyway. Back to what I was saying. I just don't see the appeal of a grown dude throwing Pokemon balls at people, man. It's just stupid. And think it's kind of dumb to be entertained by it, but what do I know? Anyway, moving on. Browns had a 0-16 parade today. Some of the players got a little angry and offended by it, going as far as to say, you're not a true fan if you attend that parade. And I would disagree with that. for this reason. A, you put a terrible product out there, my man. You put out a terrible product. 0-16. You couldn't even catch a bad team slipping on a bad day to win that game. 0-16. You went 0-16, sir. To say to someone attending a parade to celebrate your losing record is not a true fan, I would argue that with the performance that your team has put out, as long as I can remember, I mean, there were a couple times when Hoyer and Peyton Hillis were there that gave the Browns a little bit of hope. I don't know when the last time they made the playoff was, but we all know they had no shot at winning that playoff game. But, sir, the product that has been put out by the Cleveland Browns in the years past, the fact that anyone owns or even claims, I would say that the Browns are so bad that simply claiming them as your favorite team makes you a fan. You can't do it with a lot of teams. Like if you're a Patriot fan, Seahawks fans are the worst. You know those guys are bandwagoners. No one liked the Seahawks up until a couple years ago. Patriots probably have a few bandwagoners. Cowboys are getting some bandwagoners on theirs. Eagles have some. The Rams maybe. But the bottom line is that anyone who claims, so you can't just walk in and be like, oh, I'm a Seahawk fan and be taken seriously, because you're really going to be kind of tagged with that bandwagon. But anyone, I would say that to legitimize yourself as a Cleveland Brown fan, I would say you simply have to say, yeah, the Browns are all right. And boom, you're borderline diehard fan. Buy merchandise and you're there. Buy yourself a t-shirt. You're there. So the fact that these people took time out of their day to go somewhere and make light of a just incredibly dismal product that you put out there, I call him a fan. And you don't want to throw in 0-16 parades? Play just a little bit harder. Make a few less mistakes. You were in a few games. But man, that team is just a, wow. Wow. Playoffs are starting today or this weekend. NFC is wide open. I think the only team that really doesn't have a shot is Philadelphia, and they're the number one seed, ironically, but you lose an MVP caliber quarterback and replace him with Nick Foles. Sorry. Yeah, I don't think you got a shot at winning the Super Bowl. Don't think you got a shot at winning the Super Bowl. Out of that division, first off, the South is good, man. NFC South is good. Three playoff teams out of the four teams in the division. It's impossible for all four teams to go in because of the stupid conference champion rule or division champion rule. So it's how you end up getting like 7-9 teams into the playoffs, because they're seven. They're the worst of the worst division. They're the best of the worst division. But yeah, three of the four teams locked up both wild card spots and obviously the Saints won. Is it the Saints, I believe, that won the division? So out of that, man, I think I'm going to have to go with the Saints on that, out of that side. And I think the Steelers and the Patriots will play for the Super Bowl. I'm going to give the edge to the Patriots because it's going to be in Foxborough. But I do believe whoever wins that Patriots Steelers game will end up winning the Super Bowl overall. So Patriots versus Saints for the Super Bowl. I said it. I put it on wax here today, early January. So we will see Patriots versus Saints. And I like it. I like it. A little trouble in paradise when it comes to New England. Apparently, Bill Belichick kicked Tom Brady's health guru off the sideline and kicked him out of the facility. And that was an issue that stirred up some contention between them. And you got to give the guy some sort of credit, this health guru guy, because Tom Brady's 40 years old and could quite possibly win the MVP this year and could quite possibly win his sixth Super Bowl and has been playing at a high rate, health-wise, and he stayed on the field the entire year. So there might be something to what Tom Brady's doing. Maybe he's lucky, or maybe what this guy is doing for him is actually working. Don't know. But another and I hope Brady, man, I hope he's competitive for the next 5 or 6 years. I want to see Tom Brady retire the league from the league at 50. I don't know if Warren Moon was 50 years old when he played, but I think it'd be cool to have a 50-year-old dude in the league. And I think if it's going to happen, I think Tom Brady's going to be the guy who does it. But anyway, that's one of the things. The other thing is Belichick wanted to keep, and I don't know how to say Garoppolo or whatever, his backup quarterback, a few weeks ago. And he basically wanted Garoppolo to basically work underneath Brady and then kind of do what Aaron Rodgers did, take over the reins and come in smoking hot. And apparently Brady was a little intimidated by it. So he wanted Kraft to trade him. And they did. They traded him to San Francisco. He went 5-0 with San Francisco and lit him up. Which means Belichick obviously had a pretty decent idea what kind of talent he had to replace Brady when Brady finally does quit. But apparently, Kraft chose Brady over Belichick, which I'm not gonna lie, man, not a smart choice. Brady can only play for so much longer. Belichick's got more years of coaching in him than Brady has years of playing. And I think Kraft made a mistake, especially if Belichick leaves. If Belichick leaves, come down to Arizona, man. I'd love, come to Arizona and then make a trade with San Francisco and pick up Garoppolo again and let us, let my Arizona Cardinals win 6 of the last 12 or whatever it's been, 15, 17, whatever. But anyway, I don't necessarily hate the Patriots. I'm not, but I'm indifferent to them, but I think it's kind of funny. I think it's a bonehead move by what generally is a pretty smart dude in Mr. Kraft, the owner of New England. College football wraps up. By the time this podcast is released, wrapped up already. So, few things. First off, that Rose Bowl game, man, was a great game. And I think both teams should, I don't want to say be proud of how you played, but I'd say you can't be ashamed of the effort, I guess you could say, to a degree. But this moral win that some OU fans are trying to, and listen, I'm a Longhorn fan, so this is biased. And I do enjoy listening all year. I see Iowa State, when you lost to Iowa State, man, it's everyone turned on them, and Stoops had to go, and we're never going to win another national championship with Stoops there, you know, as the defensive coordinator. Yeah, we're terrible, yada, yada, yada. And then you go on a nice win streak, and then your offense was humming at the end of the season, and that shifted from we're terrible to this is the year we're going to win it all. Lincoln Riley is an offensive genius. We're going to win the national championship his first year. Probably hang five or six more banners before he leaves. Kind of talk. Baker Mayfield's the best thing to come through OU in a long time, yada, yada, yada. And I thoroughly enjoy personally just watching the game and as it winds down and Georgia seals the game. And it's steps. It's Georgia, you know, comes within seven and then Georgia comes within. Then they tie it and then they go ahead and then you go ahead and then Georgia goes ahead again. And then all you have to do is come up with a stop at the end of the game and Georgia scores to send it in the overtime. And then they, you know, and then you're watching all this and I'm just sitting there thinking like, I hope they lose this game. Because I enjoy thinking of these people who thought this was going to be the year just sitting on their couch, staring at a blank wall for hours on end, wondering what went wrong and going through all the phases of denial and depression and anger and all that. It's a little entertaining to me, but you guys beat Texas, so I don't have much of a ground to stand on. But I don't think it's as big a moral victory as some I want to tout for this reason. You shouldn't have lost that game. Not saying that it was impossible for you to lose going into the game, but you shouldn't have lost the game because you have the Heisman Trophy player at quarterback. You have this offensive genius. Your offense is humming, and it's obvious you didn't have to knock the rust off because you scored your first five drives. So it wasn't a hiatus affected us type of thing because you came out humming on all cylinders at the beginning of the game. So from the standpoint of all these things considered, and you come into halftime with a 14-point lead, a double-digit lead, you should have never lost the game. You came into the second half and scored one touchdown. You got blanked in the third quarter. And this offense that's so powerful with these masterminds and these just elite talent running it, get two opportunities from the 25-yard line to go in. And all you can muster up are two field goals. Two field goals. That's all you can muster up. The defense is to blame. Absolutely. But Baker Mayfield's to blame. The offense is to blame. Lincoln Riley's to blame. That was a team effort to lose that game. I put the blame on the defense because anytime you hang 31 points, you would hope that a decent defense would be able to win that game. Four touchdowns, a touchdown every quarter, and a field goal should win a game if your defense is decent. Yours isn't, but a 14-point lead at halftime against a team that's bread and butter is running. So they hurt themselves every time they run the ball because they kill the clock. Yet you still lost that game. Yeah, there's a little bit to be a little bit of blame to go around. Definitely for sure. And then, like I said, even though the game itself in regular time ended up being a tie. You were able to salvage that. Man, high-powered offense, and you can only muster up two field goals starting at the 25-yard line. Some of the blame goes on the quarterback. And that's the thing. Heisman Trophy should have taken, you know who would have taken that game? You know who would have, grabbed the ball and taken that game, into his own hands and willed a win in that game? Vince Young. And I know he would have because he did that very thing against a much better team. Back in 05. And honestly, if Baker Mayfield wants to know what the outcome of the game should have looked like on his behalf, he should go watch that Rose Bowl game between Texas and USC, because if you are this high of a caliber player that people say you are, there should have been a little Vince Young-esque, leadership and just overall will to win, on his part. I thought it was pretty funny when, he was sitting courtside at the Thunder game and Paul George is shaking people's hands and just looks at him like he's a normal fan, man. That was pretty entertaining. I laughed. But, anyway, that's my thought on that. My other thought is on the whole college football thing is UCF should have been there. Bama shouldn't be in the national championship because Bama should have never been in the playoffs. UCF went undefeated. They beat a couple good caliber teams. Them winning the Peach Bowl against Auburn kind of shows, hopefully, that it should. So I'm glad they won, and I hope Bama loses, not because I hate Bama and I'm one of those guys who just wishes everything. I don't mind when they lose, but I don't mind when they win it either. But I want them to lose this year, because I don't feel that they should be there. And if they lose, then you have all this controversy. The committee deserves criticism. And I think if Bama loses, it's going to be piled upon them, and they have no leg to stand on. Back in the first one, when they put Ohio State in over somebody else, I remember, and then Ohio, you kind of, you think Ohio State's going to get killed, and then Ohio State goes on and runs the table and wins the national championship. Kind of validated what the committee did. But I'm hoping Bama loses to validate that the committee was wrong, that UCF should have had a shot at it, and that's it. And I think if you do that, and that does happen, and the committee does come under all the scrutiny, which they deserve, then I do think that, they need to look at it and make it eight teams. And if you make it eight teams, UCF would have gotten in, Bama would have gotten in, and you would have done that. If you go eight teams, you're going to have to cut some non-conference games, but, I think Bama could quit playing one of their, junior high teams that they play every year. And I think, some other teams could quit playing some of these cupcakes they use to start the season off or to kind of help recover during the season and play some football. So, anyway, my thought on that. Other than that, man, nothing really going on. Just kicking off 2018 as a 2018. Looking to get better. That's it. You guys go check out the website, topofthedudechain.com. Scroll down, you'll see the latest episode embedded in it. But below that, man, you're going to see some icons for social medias. Click on those bad boys. Hit us up. Got any questions? Got any comments? You like it? You don't like it? Let me know. Shout out to my mom who listens to this podcast. Shout out to my brother-in-law who says he listens to this podcast. Let me know what you think. This is Top of the Dude Chain. I'm out. There's just some white space on that one particular sheet. Period. Rather than me drop $75 for a sheet, I just wanted to throw a forced rep design on there. So when we have your stuff printed, it'll come in. It'll only be 12. It'll give me an opportunity to will see how it looks before I have an entire sheet printed. Period.